Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, everybody. Welcome once again to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined as always by Raj Giri. And today we're going to talk about SmackDown for September 19th, 2017. Going to talk about No Mercy coming up this weekend. Talk about attendance at WWE house shows and live events and how that's going, in addition to TV tapings and other news from around the world of professional wrestling. Raj, how are you doing this morning?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Interesting SmackDown last night. You know, kind of tough act to follow with the week before, but let's, you know, before we dive into the nitty gritty, I mean, what were your overall thoughts of the episode?
I just felt like it was mostly filler. It was kind of in the middle. I didn't think it was bad, but it just, I mean, there was some stuff that was really cringeworthy.
One segment in particular.
But other than that, I didn't think it was bad. I just thought it was just kind of there.
Yeah, you could tell that with No Mercy coming up and Hell in a Cell still being a couple weeks out, that they're really laying the groundwork, but in no rush on those storylines.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of a nothing show.
Yeah, which is weird too, because we've only got, you know, I just looked at the calendar. We've got two SmackDowns between now and Hell in a Cell, and the way that they're treating it, you would think it was 5 weeks off.
Yeah, and you had two segments that were basically identical to last week, you know, with the Jinder and the Dolph Ziggler one, which is almost exactly the same as last week. So it was just kind of like being on a treadmill, just running in place.
And I don't know. I mean, aside from the racist nature of some of Jinder's remarks, I would say that I don't know which segment was more painful. I guess Jinder won just because.
I think Jinder won hands down. That was.
Yeah. Although Dolph was pretty kicking a dead horse.
Yeah. I mean, they're building that for Bobby Roode. I don't know if it's going to be Dolph coming out to Bobby Roode's entrance or, you know, Bobby Roode interrupting Dolph. I think Bobby Roode interrupting Dolph would be more effective. But, you know, that's where that's headed.
Yeah, absolutely. So Shane McMahon opens up last night, just goes out and cuts a promo, builds up the match to Hell in a Cell. He condemned Owens to vengeance. That was very weird.
Yeah, I liked this promo until that line because it seemed very, it seemed realistic and organic. Sure. It didn't seem so scripted. And then that line just kind of took that all away. But it wasn't, overall, it was still an effective promo by Shane. There's no funny business, you know, he acted, you know, the way he should have. And so overall I liked it. I just, that line was just a little too much.
And for better or worse, man, I mean, Shane is a top star in the WWE. I mean, in terms of, if you look at the matches that he's been in, the pop he gets from the audience, I mean, he's a reliable go-to now.
Yeah. I think people roll their eyes when they think about Shane in a feud or Shane in a match, but they always end up being at least entertaining or newsworthy. You know, his match with Taker, I thought it kind of sucked, but it was overshadowed. The suckiness was overshadowed because of that help, you know, the Cell spot. So
yeah,
it's always something interesting and entertaining. So I have no problem with the Shane and Kevin Owens feud. And Kevin Owens, this is, you know, probably the most he's been pushed, the most he's looked like a top guy since he's been with the company. And that's including his reign as Universal Champion, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, it's good for the both of them. I think it's just SmackDown, man, the lows are pretty low on that show. I mean, the peaks are decent, but yeah, there's a lot of B stuff.
Yeah, you just take you take the top four stars of SmackDown, and you take the top four stars of Raw, And you kind of see just how far beneath Raw SmackDown is, you know, as far as star power, not necessarily talent, but definitely star power.
Yeah, there's something that's missing from the mix. And so speaking of which, we went from that to Hayden English versus Randy Orton. Yeah, in a match that really was to set up Rusev and Orton after the fact when Rusev came out and attacked Randy. Do you think, I mean, is this going to help Rusev? I know everyone's been wanting to get him in something with a little more traction here. I mean, what do you think about the way that they're going in building this?
You know, first off, I was surprised they let Aiden English get so much on Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah.
And then it made sense when Rusev came in because Rusev, and then it, you know, if Orton won a quick match over Aiden and then Rusev beat Orton quickly, you know, it would have made Orton look weak. So this way it looked like Orton had a hard fought match and then was beaten quickly. So, you know, it protected him a little while giving Rusev something. So, you know, Orton has just lost his last couple of feuds. So I see him going over on this one. And I just think that's the wrong plan. I think there's so much potential with Rusev. And the longer you wait, sometimes you miss that chance and you miss that opportunity. And you know, what I liked about this was Rusev's showing some personality and showing his more humorous side and not the strict anti-American thing, but, you know, him cheering afterwards. And you were seeing a little more of the personality that I think a lot of the internet fans see, like in his tweets and, you know, stuff away from the ring. And I think the more they incorporate that, the more the Rusev character could evolve and become a top star again and maybe even a top babyface. So, you know, I think him beating Orton was the right thing. So, yeah, now I guess they're tied. So that leads to the tiebreaker and hopefully Rusev takes it, but I wouldn't bet on it.
You know, with Randy, and here's the shame of that. Here's the shame of that. If Randy wins that feud is right now, having lost to Jinder repeatedly
and Bray, he lost the blow off to that,
having hard fought matches with Aiden English. I think that no, seriously, if he loses to Rusev, there's actually a great comeback arc there where Randy can say, you know, people have said that I seem like I'm tuned out of this and maybe I was, and we have this redemption arc. That would make Randy kind of interesting again. But I think to get him to that point, he has to lose to Rusev. If he just comes back, we're going to have Randy in the middle, you know, just sort of with the, oh, okay, that's serviceable. He does an RKO attitude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you suggested is fine, but then what do you do after that? Like, what does Orton change to show that he's looking for redemption and that he's no longer, you know, just resting on his laurels? I mean, he's kind of who he is. I can't see him changing his character up much at this stage of the game. So, but you know, I could see that doing something where he's been on a bit of a losing streak and then he gets fired up, or I don't know, does something to freshen himself up.
And it's not as in ring performance necessarily. Actually, with Jinder, though, some of those matches, especially with what he did with the Singh brothers. I mean, that was actually Randy most fired up we've seen him. But I think it's the promos. I think it's the fact that his promos are just always so dull and just on a repetitive loop of what he's been doing forever now, that I think in the promos that attitude would come across and maybe add a little spark to the fire.
I don't know. His promos have been like that forever.
Oh, I know.
It's not like he's going to all of a sudden turn his promos around and be a different, you know, and put a unique spin on him. So I don't know. I just think Orton is who he is, and that's who it's going to be. I just don't, you know, he'll just basically keep going between heel and babyface. But other than that, I think I don't see much changing with him. So, but with Rusev, there's a lot of opportunity there. So
Agree, but not if he ends up losing this to Orton and then it's going to be Rusev versus Aiden English on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Maybe if they're lucky.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about it, man. Jinder and the Singh brothers coming out there. God. Roasting Shinsuke Nakamura. You think Vince McMahon's paying more attention? And that's why we're getting these terrible jokes.
Oh, God, I could tell those jokes are probably coming from Vince. You know, I'm sure Vince thinks that when he sees Nakamura is the goofy faces, you know? And I said it last week. When you call attention to that and you start making people say, oh, he's got a point, you're hurting Shinsuke.
Yeah.
And then they just went outright racist. I mean, they did it last week too, but even worse this week. And I know Vince probably is like, oh, well, it's an Indian guy saying racist stuff, so it's fine. And it's not. And I just thought, you know, we're, it's just so backwards and regressive. And it just makes you, that kind of stuff just makes wrestling look so bad. Like if someone that doesn't watch wrestling was just putting that on, it just makes the wrestling seem so low rent.
Yeah. And know your audience, man. They're in Oakland, California, the San Francisco Bay Area. One, if you listen last night, when Jinder came out, much more mixed than usual, a lot more cheers in mixed in with the jeers. But to do that segment there in the Bay Area, huge Indian American population, huge Asian American population. That is not the place to do this promo.
Well, I'm sure Vince thought that is the place to do it, because I'm sure he thought that's where it'll get more heat.
With the crowds chanting, that's too far.
That was great. I love that.
It's the Bay Area, man. It's the Bay Area.
I love it. I loved it. I love that. Yeah. That's too far chant. But it, yeah, again, it's just so cringeworthy. And Jinder, man, I don't know. I think they built him up to where he's something. He's got a star look. This promo sucked. I don't know who could have made it good though. You know, I think that's the material he was sent, but him on top, it's not doing anything. And time to let him drop that title, put it on things that really get the fans' interest, and have Jinder win the U.S. title and feud with good workers that he could learn from and work longer matches. But at the top, it's just not working. And the whole India thing, from what I hear, it's not like there's a splurge of popularity for India and for WWE in India. In fact, I think it's pretty much just the same. So, man, you keep going with Jinder as U.S. champion. Drop that xenophobic crap. It just makes you look outdated in this day and age. And go with it. But
yeah, I was very glad I was watching wrestling alone last night.
Yeah, if my wife, God, yeah. And my wife has this habit of always walking in during the most embarrassing segments, you know, where she's like, this is what you're watching.
And you should be like, this paid for this house.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I was just expecting her to walk in during that segment. So thankfully she didn't.
Yeah, it was, oh man, that was something. So after that, we got Nakamura's rebuttal. Which was okay,
you know. I thought it was worse that he just laughed it off, you know. I thought this feud sucks. It's terrible. And you know what? You know, we were talking about this the other night about Finn Balor coming to SmackDown, and we're going to get to this about SmackDown attendance. Grant, and we'll get to this more, but attendance does drop in the fall, but. I don't remember seeing attendance this bad in Oakland. And I've actually been to SmackDowns in Oakland before. And granted, this was 10 years ago and it was full, but I've never seen it that bad. So you can spice SmackDown up a lot by using guys from Raw that aren't being used hardly at all. You know, like Jeff Hardy's an afterthought. He would add so much to SmackDown as a singles guy. Finn Balor, again, it's just kind of, you know, treading water on Raw, and he's someone that could be a huge difference maker on SmackDown. And these guys at the top with Nakamura, AJ, Owens, I think that could give SmackDown a shot in the arm, because it just feels like it's kind of falling a bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to have it every single way, right? I mean, they're trying to have the indie wrestler cred portion of the show, and then they're trying to do this. I mean, you can tell it's a big Vince play with Jinder, and it's like, no, we're going to bring it back to the 80s in this very xenophobic feel and get the heel heat on the Indian champion. And they're trying to do so much, and then at the same time, we'll talk about this in a minute, and then at the same, you know, we've got the women in one segment and we've got this, and they're trying to just cram it all in there. And I think it's buckling under the weight of that, you know, and not trying to be one thing.
Yeah, just Vince knows one thing when it comes to pushing like foreign top guys. And, you know, Nakamura is not his guy. Yeah. If Nakamura came in and Vince, you know, had to create his persona, I'm sure it'd be something completely different. than this cool, you know, charismatic guy. So, you know, anyway.
Fitz would be like, so remember in the movie Revenge of the Nerds when they had the Asian guy that was one of the nerds? I'm thinking something like that.
Yeah, you know, he's Vince, he's just brilliant businessman. WWE, you know, they're making a ton of money. So on the business front, you know, they're doing fine, but they're knowing, they just know how to make, grasp as much money from a shrinking audience that they can. And yeah, they're good at that. So it's not, can you imagine how much more they'd be making if they, it was growing in popularity?
But it's weird though, because everything that gets positive mainstream press and everything that you get the buzz on that it seems like people are interested in, again, it feels like they're trying to make it too much the cavalcade of everything. You know, it's like they're not really responding, I think, to what the most interest is in. I mean, so to talk about next, what they're doing with AJ. So they're clearly building Baron Corbin. We get the title match last night with Baron versus AJ Styles, interference from Ty Dillinger. And the result of this is that now it's going to be a triple threat for the US title at Hell in a Cell. I mean,
that's what it's looking like.
Who does this benefit ultimately in this?
Ty. It gets Ty out of dark matches.
Sure. But I mean, does this elevate either of them really when it comes to this? And what does it do for AJ? I mean, AJ, I feel like, is a star. AJ, I feel like, should be at the top level of the company right now.
Oh, AJ is at the lowest since he's won the WWE Championship. You know,
yeah,
as far as his star power. Yeah, but he's at a level where that's easy to change. All they got to do is switch his opponents around. Sure. You know, they just have him, you know, if Jinder beats Nakamura at Hell in a Cell, you have AJ just walk out, boom, he's back in the as a main event guy. And it's not like fans don't see him as less and see him as not worthy of being back there. But yeah, right now you know, WWE does that all the time where they just don't have anything else. You know, at the top, they've got their program set and they're not really building other top programs. So it's like either you're at the top or you're mid-card.
Yeah.
It's not like they're building the next, you see an obvious next challenger for Jinder rising up. So, or Nakamura.
Yeah, I think you do AJ and Jinder just to get the belt off Jinder at this point, and then you go to AJ and Nakamura, and you go with maybe Owens. Yeah, or maybe you go AJ and I don't know. See,
there you go. There's just such a lack of...
Yeah, there's really some very set ways you can go with it.
You could go AJ and Rusev if you keep Rusev heel.
AJ and Rusev would be good. Even AJ and Orton, I know they did that once. AJ and Orton, I feel like, would get more interest than... what they've been doing with Jinder.
Yeah, AJ and Orton was just a one-off on SmackDown, yeah. Right? They never really did a feud. So
no.
you could turn Orton heel and feud with AJ. Again, that just doesn't do much for me. I just think you got those guys on Raw that could definitely use a change in scenery. And AJ and Finn, that's something that's exciting. Or AJ and Nakamura. But I don't know if they'll do that just because they're two baby faces.
Yeah. No, I get that. And that's where it seems a little weird. The thing with Ty last night interfering. I mean, okay. So we're going to have two faces and a heel.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think it'll make the match better.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really compensating for Corbin just because his attitude is good. But
Corbin hasn't had a good match on pay-per-view since, gosh, you know, it's been a while. Maybe Sammy. I can't remember if that was good or not.
No, I have no recollection of that match. Some of the TakeOver stuff was okay that he did back in NXT.
Yeah, on the main roster, I think he had, gosh, there was one good one he had with like Kalisto, and that was kind of it.
Yeah. So the women's segment last night, thought that was, talk about getting heel heat. I loved Natalya crashing Charlotte's update on her dad and announcement she was back. Natalya coming out to celebrate herself.
Sure. I just think Natalya seems so unnatural as a heel. You know, people give me crap about saying everyone should turn heel. I think Natalya should turn babyface. She's just a natural babyface. You know, her clutching the belt at the end, it just looked like she was acting. It just didn't fit. And the same thing with Charlotte. She's the opposite. I think she looks out of place, just smiling and you know, I mean, he or she had to when talking about her father. But once Natalya came out, I thought the segment got awkward. I hate when they do where it's so obvious when the next woman's going to come in or the next person's going to come in when they're building these multi-ways. Yeah. And, you know, like, it's your turn to talk. It's your turn to come out. It's your turn to come out. Now it's your turn to talk. And it's your turn to talk. And it's so scripted and non-organic. And that's what they did here. But I like the fact that they're, you know, they built Charlotte for a title match. The thing I hate, though, is when they make it, when they do the build and it makes it so obvious. They build this four-man, you know, the four-woman, you know, main event. But it's so obvious who's going to win.
Oh, absolutely. From the build. I mean, given... Well, and based on everything we've seen leak about, even about Starrcade and
right,
I think just common sense.
I mean, even if you don't follow online, just from you see the conflict between Charlotte and Natalya. So obviously that's where they're going. And then they build to the match. And so it's clear that Charlotte's going to win. It's like what they did with Jason Jordan on Raw. You know, they're building Jordan and Miz at the beginning, and then they set up a multi-person, which, you know, Jordan's going to win. Anyway,
yeah, I don't think there's a single person that wouldn't have had their money, significant amounts of money on Charlotte winning last night. That
right.
Four-way in the main event.
And that just takes all the steam out of the main event.
Well, but you could tell, though, in how they're pushing it, though. I mean, even when Becky came out, Becky got a good pop. Naomi came out and got a decent response. Tamina, with the worst theme music ever, you know, came out. And I liked the dynamic with her and Lana and the way they did that. I thought the segment was good. Now, see, to disagree with your point, though, I like Natalya as a heel and Charlotte as a face at this, because I think back to when they did this on Raw a year and a half ago, and that was just painful when it was flipped the other way. I mean, you had Charlotte, it was in her never-ending winning streak. But remember, they had the match when Bret Hart was there and Ric Flair was there.
That was in NXT.
No, dude, that happened in Raw also.
They didn't have Bret Hart with...
Yeah, that was on a pay-per-view last year.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah, okay.
And it ended, Rick cheated, then Brett put Rick in the sharpshooter, Charlotte, or Natalya put Charlotte in the sharpshooter. That was the finish after
two. Wow, I totally forgot that.
Yeah, that's how good the feud was. So at least this time, it's not an exact.
But it just, well, see, I disagree, because I feel like Charlotte is a main event person as a heel, and she just feels like another girl on the roster as a babyface.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Unless Carmella cashes in and wins, I think we're going to be in for another long Charlotte reign, just like we saw on Raw. And it's going to be the Charlotte show for SmackDown women and the Asuka show for Raw women for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but at least now she's a baby face. So it makes something different. And you could have Paige come back.
Yeah.
So that, you know, Charlotte and Paige, that's something interesting.
That would be good. That would be a very good feud. So... After that last night, that's the main event, which
someone's asking where Bobby Roode was. Bobby Roode worked the dark match again. Second week in a row, he did the dark match this week against Ty. I think they're just keeping him off of TV to get that pop when he interrupts Dolph Ziggler.
Because it worked so well for Shinsuke using this formula.
What's that? Oh, the Dolph, the first Dolph.
Well, yeah, the idea, like, and then we'll show him, but then you won't see him for a couple weeks, or you won't see him wrestle. But then at the pay-per-view, people are going to go nuts.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a lot of anticipation for that match, and then the match just sucked.
Yeah, but with Bobby, how have they been building the anticipation? They're not, I mean...
But not being on TV, so it'll be a little more of a surprise when that glorious theme hits.
I guess. You're not having Dolph out there calling him the rock star, you know, making references to Michael Jackson.
And he might, who knows? You know, they like bringing out the baby face's weaknesses, so maybe... Ziggler will start saying how Roode without that theme is nothing and has no charisma. You know, I could totally see them scripting that kind of crap.
Yeah. The Hype Bros versus the New Day last night. The New Day picking up a win, and after teasing further, perhaps the Hype Bros will split. Perhaps they will turn heel. Who knows?
I think it'd probably be better for them to be a heel tag team, just because there aren't... Who's the other heel tag team? You got the Ascension, Primo and Epico, I guess.
Supposedly coming back.
Coming back. You know, it's just so shallow on that end that, you know, I guess it gives them something.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Rowan and Harper.
Yeah.
No Fashion Police last night.
No Fashion Police. Nope.
Then they didn't show up on 205 Live again, I'm assuming.
They showed a replay on 205 Live.
Of that? Just like, hey, remember how great this was last week?
Right.
Okay. Cool, cool. So after that, Kevin Owens in a wrinkly shirt issuing a statement via satellite, nonetheless.
Yeah. I didn't like the apology, but, you know, Owens is good. I'd like him to be a little more remorseful. When you do something like that, that cold-blooded, don't show remorse after, you know, just kind of be smug about it. Did what you did, and now you're coming after Shane. Owens was good.
No, I'm looking at the screenshot, though, of this, and it bothered me the whole time. Like, iron the damn shirt, man. Don't they have a clothing steamer back there or something? Like, why? You're in a wrinkly...
When was the last time Owens wore, you know, that shirt? It's probably been a long time.
But when he came out in a suit that one week, he looked really good. I just think that if the diss on him, or there's this thought that he's kind of a schlubby guy, don't look like you just literally
a schlubby guy in a nice shirt.
Yeah, like I just picked this out of the dirty laundry, smelt it, and then put it on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know. That just bugged me the entire time. But no, I think this is going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to this more than anything else at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, same here, by far. And, you know, New Day and Usos will be good, and I'd be looking more forward to it if we hadn't seen it a billion times.
Oh, yeah. No, they've run that same problem as Raw. It's like you've run this into the ground. Actually, even more with New Day and the Usos. Although, okay, so the one line that bothered me in Owens' thing, him saying people like him don't go to hell for what they're going to do. They go to heaven. I was like... That was so, and especially because didn't you think I thought he was going with this was people like me don't go to hell for what we do. I thought he was gonna say they go to jail.
What I thought he was gonna say,
which would totally have been a killer line, but yeah. They go to heaven. That was so weird.
Yeah, I did not see. I totally thought jail or prison.
Yeah.
But yeah.
it could have been so badass if you would have said prison. Oh my god, that would have been phenomenal. And instead, nope, they go to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Dolph Ziggler, man, here's my thought on this. If he just would have walked out and done the goddamn fake entrances as opposed to coming out and talking about it first, it wouldn't have been great, but it would have been 10 times better than it was.
Well, I think it's supposed to be irritating so that when Rude comes out, it does get that big pop. So that's what they're doing. It's not supposed to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And they're doing a good job of that.
But could you imagine, okay, let me paint the scenario for you. Throughout the evening, if HBK's music hits, if Triple H music hits, and every time the audience is like, oh my God, and then out comes Ziggler. I think that would be awesome to troll people. And I think, here's my thought, I think they do that for like 6 months to the point people are just like, this is so bad. And then Hogan's music hits and Hogan actually comes out. Something like that.
That's, you know what I'm saying? That would get so old. It's already gotten old.
It has gotten old. But I think the audience would fall for it every time if Dolph didn't come. And I bet you the thought backstage is, we have to have Dolph come out and say this first, or else the audience is going to be really upset that they thought so-and-so was here.
I don't think you'd want to do all that build for Hogan coming back who's not wrestling.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
But, or something of that caliber.
So I like that this is building for Rude. You know, yeah. At least it's building for an up-and-coming star. So, you know, 6 months, no way. I mean, that's a waste of Dolph.
In WWE time, a waste of Dolph. Because what else? Oh, the great things they could be doing with Dolph Ziggler.
At least, they're doing something with him now. Yeah. You know, but I do like the idea of doing separate entrances throughout the show as opposed to all at one time.
Just something to like really bait people with it, really get people riled up with it. I just think it's a waste having come out before and say, hey, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah. The Triple H thing would have actually been a great way to start off the show, because I think people would have bought it because of the Vince attack the week before.
And that's when it worked, by the way, was when he did the Shane thing to Kevin last week, when he came out and did that with no buildup ahead of time. People fall for it, you know, and it's much, much more entertaining.
And here's my thing again with last night's show. You're coming off this angle that everyone's talking about, and it's treated as just another angle tonight. You know what I mean? When you have a big storyline, make that the focal point of the show. Have Daniel Bryan come out in the beginning and say Shane is coming. He's on his way. He's going to address it. Don't just give that away at the beginning. Just have like you know, make it a big deal as opposed to just kind of a couple throwaway segments.
Yes. And just to clarify, when I say 6 months, I mean 6 months in WWE time, which is 6 weeks of SmackDown. It basically feels like 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything they do feels like it just goes on forever and ever and ever. Yeah. The Fatal 4-Way in the main event. We knew how this was going to turn out. What did you think of the match itself?
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was worth a "this is awesome" chant. I think fans are abusing that chant.
I feel they're a little, the threshold has been lowered.
I feel like they were like, oh, we haven't gotten to use it tonight yet, so let's let's get it out now. But it was good. It was good. It was, you know, predictable. I don't know. Do something. Like, you know, you have Raw giving away the third hour now because of football. And did you see that drop from the first hour to the third hour in viewership?
No.
It was almost a 20% drop from hour one to hour three.
Surprised that's it. I feel like I've made it like an accomplishment. I feel like I went to traffic school some weeks watching Raw. It's like, oh man, that was so long.
Yeah, it was like 2.5 million viewers by the end, and it was over like 3.1 at the start.
It speaks to the dedication of wrestling fans. I'm shocked 80% of people make it all the way through 3 hours of that each week.
Yeah, that's true. Especially when they're throwing away, you know, all the important stuff happens in the first 2 hours. Yeah. But, you know, here again, the main event was kind of, you know, it's important, but the way they've been building the women's division so far, I don't think that should have been the main event. I think Owens responding or something, again, building that big angle that you're coming off of should have been in that last segment.
It's true. Would have given Owens time to iron his shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this was a weird episode last night, man. I mean, I feel like this happens every time they've got a week where the opposite brand has a pay-per-view that Sunday. It's sort of like saying, well, we can't do too much.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to, you know, overshadow what's going on Raw. But Raw did nothing either. So this was one of those filler weeks that the only thing you missed was Charlotte Flair coming back to action and getting a title shot, really.
Yeah, and that's big. I mean, getting
Jason Jordan getting a title shot.
Yeah.
which, you know.
Want to talk about something that feels like, what's it been, 6 weeks since it was announced that he was Angle's illegitimate son? That feels like that was 6 months ago.
No, that was like back in July, right?
Okay, so 10 weeks maybe since. That feels like it was
forever ago. Yeah.
Forever ago, that feels like it happened. I'm shocked he's just now getting a title shot.
Yeah. It's not going to do him any good. They need to change. They need to change the storyline, not just go on the path that they're on.
Yeah. So let's talk about.
So overall, Enzo. SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. If you missed it this week, you didn't miss much. Watch the highlights on YouTube.
C plus, because, you know, something in there.
Yeah. Go on YouTube.
This week. Oh, watch, sorry.
I was gonna say, just watch highlights of the women's match in Charlotte segment.
Yeah, WWE this programming this week, I'd say, is C-, just completely missable for the most part.
Yeah. So what's up with Enzo on 205 last night? I heard they continue to build Sunday's match with him and Neville.
Yeah. So this is something you've seen in the past with guys that have heat, where they bury them so far that the guys that have heat that are over with the fans, like in the past with MVP or Matt Hardy, you know, to an extent Cesaro, but not exactly, but, you know, where someone's really over with the fans and WWE does everything they can to make sure that the fans stop cheering them. And Enzo is pretty much getting to that point now. You know, when Braun was beating him up, fans were chanting, "Thank you, Braun." And then last night during the segment with Neville, the fans were booing Enzo, cheering Neville. And, you know, when Enzo did his last line, they're booing him. So they're effectively taking someone that was one of the most over acts in the company. And instead of finding a way to use that, and yeah, he has heat, but do you want to squander a possible money guy in some role? He's a money guy. Out of spite, out of, you know, backstage stuff. But that's what they've done. And Enzo is now, you know, a lot of times what this ends up leading to is they get rid of all the guys' heat, keep burying them until they quit or they get released. And Enzo's getting to that point where he's not going to be getting those pops. Fans are turning on him, and which is by design, which is what WWE wants. So it's, you know, it kind of sucks to see that he was probably the most overact, you know, him and Cass were probably got the biggest pops in the arena last year, you know, last summer. And they're squandering it all away.
Yeah, I mean, I get that from a weird strategic point of view, they don't want someone to leave that has value that will somehow surpass what they did in the WWE outside of the company. Right. So I understand trying to really just bury him that far. But at the same time, yeah, it's with 205 Live. Okay, so if Enzo is treated like a joke and loses on Sunday, what does that mean for 205 Live? You know, I feel like they're running out of options of what they can do.
Well, they'd probably just keep him as a, you know, as a job guy, keep getting buried on 205 Live, and then he's got absolutely no worth.
Yeah. But where do they go next? I mean, Neville versus Aries was great, except they never really pulled the trigger on Aries.
It's probably Cedric. He seems like the one that they've been most protecting. So that's my guess, Cedric Alexander.
I don't know, man. Let's see what happens Sunday. I could see Finn. I could see that.
Finn?
Balor. Yeah.
What? I could see them doing something live.
I'm telling you, man.
That would be such a bad move on so many levels because they pay Finn so much money. Mm-hmm. He's a higher paid guy. They're not going to squander that money on 205 Live.
I could see them doing something crazy if they're like, they need, well, because look, what's Finn doing right now with Bray? Where does Finn go from Bray?
Back to Elias? Anywhere. Brock, you know, they could easily put him.
That happen. I'm talking the darkest timeline, Raj. I'm talking the realistic worst case scenario.
They're not going to squander someone that has value on the main roster for 205 Live. Neville, when they took him to 205 Live, he wasn't even being on, you know, showcased on TV for months.
Yeah.
And part of that was that was after he was, cleared to return to action. He was never prominently featured on the main roster. He was always a guy that wins one week, loses the next three. So they're not going to do that with Finn. There's way too much value. Vince doesn't, it's clear he doesn't think anything of 205 Live. So he's not going to take someone that he thinks is a star and put him there.
Where do you think Enzo is at with merch sales compared to the rest of the roster?
I don't know now. I know their merch was selling really well, you know, like 6 months ago or a year ago.
Oh, yeah. And there was so much of it.
Yeah, I haven't really looked into it. I mean, I can check, but
I'm just curious.
I'm sure it's dying out.
Yeah. Well, when those things start hitting clearance, I mean, I guess they can't sell all the Enzo and Big Cass stuff anymore. So it's just going to be, you know, all the certified G stuff. So let's talk about the match card for No Mercy. We went over this the other night, but let's recap it again, just with some predictions, see if anything's changed about the chatter about what could be happening. But The Miz versus Jason Jordan for the Intercontinental Championship. You still, where are you at on where you think it's going to happen with this?
I think they're going to have Jordan win. Mm-hmm. And it keeps the feud with The Miz going.
I think I could see him setting up a win, but The Miz Taraj interfering and The Miz retaining, even if it's by a cheap DQ.
You could like a DQ or something. I could see that too.
I just don't know that they're ready.
I just don't see Miz beating Jordan yet.
Yeah. I don't know if we're ready for Jason Jordan as a champion. God, could you imagine if they have him come out there by himself and just let him do promos?
He's one, you know, when I talked about storyline ideas for Jordan and having him hooked up with Emma and getting all these benefits from Kurt, you know, as booking favors and stuff for Emma and himself, I think him pairing with Emma and having Emma doing more of his talking would be, you know, that could be money as a heel unit. So,
yeah, I agree. Okay. So Alexa Bliss. So now what's now a fatal five way, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks versus Bayley versus Nia Jax versus the aforementioned Emma.
I think Alexa retains. What do you think?
I think she retains. I think our only disagreements about who takes the pin. You were saying Sasha, I'm saying Emma.
It could be.
Yeah.
I don't think it really matters, but
No, it doesn't. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, do people keep track of that? I mean, I think there's a philosophy that it matters, but I don't know. I think Sasha's not protected, especially as we mentioned the other night with what she's been saying on interviews.
Yeah, I think you can, if you pay attention to it, because if they take the pin and then lose again, then there's something going on.
Yeah.
You know, then it's like management gave up faith or there's backstage heat. It's usually something like that.
Yeah. I think they're wasting Bailey's return. I think they should have really held it off until they had a plan for her. So unless she wins, I don't think this is going to do her any favors coming back.
I don't think she's been gone long enough to need to do a big return. Mm. And I think, look, in her hometown, she returned in her hometown. It wasn't a giant pop. So I think if they did it anywhere else, she might have gotten booed. So
yeah,
that was probably the best place to do it.
Yeah, we'll see. Mm. Neville versus Enzo. Do you think there's a chance in hell that Enzo wins the belt?
I do, sadly yeah. enough. Just so that they could, you know, one of those. I could see Neville just kicking the crap out of Enzo the whole match. And then
slipping on a banana peel.
Yeah, slips on a banana peel. It's that, you know, that kind of thing where he accidentally, you know, posts himself or, you know, like the Razor Ramon 1-2-3 kid finish. Something like that where Enzo steals a win. I'd have him avoid Neville for a long time. And then you do the rematch at Survivor Series.
You know why I think Enzo could win is that's a two birds with one stone situation where Vince is like, well, I'm burying 205 Live in the process of yeah. making Enzo the champ.
Right. You know? And, you know, it adds a little bit of interest to 205 Live to see where they go with it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I think it's propping it up at this point since Aries left. There's definitely been a void.
Yeah.
And Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. Finn Balor not as the demon wrestling yeah. Bray.
So it's like taking away the one point that would, you know, make you extra interested in this match. Yeah. Going out of the way saying it's not going to happen.
It's like Clark Kent is going to have a fist fight with Lex Luthor. Right. Be awesome, yeah. guys.
And he can't turn into Superman. Yeah. So make sure to check it out. I think Finn. I hopefully Finn and this feud ends.
Yeah. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins defending the tag team titles against Cesaro and Sheamus.
Ambrose and Rollins.
Yeah, I think they're going to retain. Reigns versus Cena. You said the other night you think Reigns wins clean over John Cena in this match.
That's what I think, yep. What do you think?
I think there's some sort of schnoz finish or something where they can't pick a definitive winner. I think still with Cena being a part-timer, I don't know that they want to damage him at all.
I don't think it damages him. I mean, you know, it's ultimately that's what the idea is to have Reigns, you know, Cena kind of pass that torch as it were to reign. So unless Cena's sticking around for a while, he's currently, hold on one second. Let me double check my notes here. He is currently listed for Survivor Series. So yeah. They could always do something weird and then have a rematch at Survivor Series. But at the end, if they do another match at the end, Reigns is going to be the one, you know, beating him.
I could see it in that this makes sense with Reigns taking on The Undertaker, that it's okay, we've now completed or we're close to completing everything that makes him look as the most credible threat to Brock Lesnar and setting that up. I mean, I get that.
Yeah, I think Vince sees the, you know, the paint drying on the wall. I think he knows with Cena getting this Transformers, you know, the Bumblebee movie, I think he sees where that's headed. And you know, all these Today Show gigs and stuff like that. So I think he wants Cena to pass that torch sooner than later, not risk, you know, Cena being gone by the time it's time to do that.
And it makes sense. The one thing that gives me pause, though, when we're going to talk about this next, about the attendance at the WWE live shows. And then not just the house shows, but the tapings as well. Like I mentioned, I'm going to Sacramento and Fresno this weekend. John Cena's appearing in Fresno at a house show. I mean, he's still such a draw.
Yeah, he's still working. He's still working live events.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I think that if there's any want, not necessarily to protect him, but just to sort of keep the shine there, I could see them in having a less definitive outcome to this match. But that being said,
him losing will not hurt his drawing power. Like, people that are going to go to, you know, for Cena are going to go regardless.
But I'll just think a little bit less of him, Raj. Just
all right.
Yeah. Actually, you know what it'll be? It won't be the loss. It's when he has to come out and give that promo on Raw that you earned my respect, Roman. When he does that, a piece of me will die inside.
Why? People hate Cena. You know, people boo Cena anyway.
So. I know. It's just, Undertaker, they didn't make him come out and do that.
With Undertaker, that would have been terrible. Cena's not a big deal.
Yeah, but go back and watch Daniel Bryan and AJ and even Mark Henry putting over Roman after getting their ass kicked by him. And it's just, it's so painful.
That's a formula that doesn't work, but yeah. They're keeping at it.
But it became that meme. Yeah, I mean, have you seen that quoted around about it? Mark Henry didn't actually say this, but the meme is that, you know, you're the real world's strongest man, Roman. It's, you know, I see that repeated again and again. That's how everyone remembers that Mark Henry promo.
I just feel like Roman could be such a bigger star if they just listen to the fans, turn the guy heel, let him find himself. Yeah. I think they're doing a disservice to Roman because Roman is great in the ring. His matches, he's had more good matches on pay-per-view since WrestleMania than Nakamura. They're better matches. So there's a ton of potential there. That's just, you know, going to waste. And I think a lot of the fan hate for Roman is directed at the company, you know, because they're not.
Absolutely. It's 100% that. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm not going to go on too big of a tangent here, but think about music, right? And think about sometimes when bands come out. And I'll use the example. I was rereading this thing about Robbie Williams, world's biggest pop star, huge everywhere, but in the United States. Why didn't he catch on in the United States? Because MTV, all the magazines, TV, everyone was saying, this guy's the next big thing. This is your pop star. This is the guy you're going to love. And there's a backlash to that. I think it has nothing to do with the person's talent. It's when it just feels like it's being forced upon you and you can't discover it on your own. That's where people kind of go, I think I'm good. You know?
Yeah, and people were discovering it. I mean, if you remember before the Royal Rumble, Roman was getting cheered by the fans. So it's not like there's this innate hate that they don't like him for some odd reason, you know, to begin with.
Exceptionally talented, even has charisma and swagger, even though sometimes it feels forced. I think it feels forced because of the lines they're giving him and what they're telling him to do, not because of anything that he's doing wrong.
Yeah, that's why I really liked his promo on Monday night. I thought it seemed more natural. It seemed more him. It didn't seem as forced. And I think, could you imagine if The Rock, they're like, no, we're not turning him heel. We want to keep it. You know, we're going to keep this Rocky Maivia thing going. Don't cut that hair. Keep that big little afro thing you had dangling at the top.
Oh man.
We're gonna keep trying it out. You know, could you imagine if they did that? Good God.
On a weird anti-comedy level, that actually sounds fantastic. That it's like 20 years later, like still, he never went on to Hollywood. He never got over. Vince still trots him out there as the same character. He's like, this is gonna catch on, damn it.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know, but it's just that feeling of just being so forced. People respond to that. There's something they can tell when it's just too much of a predetermined, which is funny. I was gonna say too much of a predetermined outcome. Very funny for this business. Yeah. But let's talk about the main event, Lesnar versus Strowman. Do you think that Lesnar is gonna lose this time?
No, I think he should. I think you could still get to where you want to go. If Lesnar and Reigns is the plan, you could still get there by having Lesnar lose here. You make a superstar in Braun and then have Lesnar win it back at the Rumble. And then you still get to do Lesnar versus Reigns. Instead of, you know, the amount of equity you get with having if the whole idea is that Reigns beating an unbeatable Lesnar will get him to the next level. I just don't see that. And I think Reigns beating Lesnar, regardless of if he loses the title or not, is going to have the same outcome, you know, with the fans and everything, drawing power, business, everything. So why not have Braun win it? You got a superstar that, you know, he's organically, you know, really over with the fans, and, you know, fans are into him.
Oh yeah.
Go that route. Get him the title. You got your title on Raw every week during football season. And, you know, you got someone who could work house shows and your title being defended at house shows. So, I just think it makes all the sense in the world to have Braun win it. But I think I think it's obvious that Lesnar is going to.
Yeah. I want to believe, Raj. I want to believe that Braun can win this. Like right down to the three count. I'm going to be thinking, come on, man, he can pull this out.
It'd be awesome if he did. And I think that it's the right business move to have Braun win here.
No,
they could do, you know, they could always do right now. Lesnar isn't scheduled for any other dates this year, but that doesn't mean that they're not negotiating to get some. So if Brock is going to be at Survivor Series, they could do, you know, a weird DQ, double DQ or something here, and then do the rematch at Survivor Series.
Yeah. Well, I liked your idea of having Brock win it back at the Rumble, setting up Brock versus Reigns at WrestleMania. I think that would be an interesting way to do it. So let's talk about this attendance of live events, both TV tapings and house shows. So I'm hearing last night was something absurd, like only 40% sold at Oakland Arena.
Yeah, that's what we had on the site. That's what one correspondent said to us, was 30 to 40%. I mean, we have an article on it that was posted last night. It's still on the front page. We have a bunch of photos from last night's SmackDown, and it's pretty much the whole camera, you know, hard camera side is empty, which you see that a lot now at house shows, but rarely for TV tapings. And then also the upper deck was tarped off. So right off the bat, you know, you're dealing with just, you know, almost one section of the arena. And every year, the third quarter is a little slower house show attendance wise. I think back to school, football season hurts live event attendance. But I've never seen, you know, the attendance this bad at a TV taping, you know, for Raw and SmackDown. And Raw is, you know, Anaheim, which is a big market. So,
I mean, I'll tell you, this week I sat it out. Raw was in San Jose, SmackDown in Oakland, and we're going to house shows this weekend because we're like, you know what? The TV tapings are never as fun. The tickets are twice as expensive and you have to get there super early on the West Coast. At least it's just not as good of a value proposition as going to a house show, watching the wrestlers be a little looser and just having fun with it. You know,
I mean, the live event attendance is terrible too. Yeah. It's not just TV tapings. So, and TV tapings, the attendance is still way better than live event. Yeah, I mean, you look at the average TV show attendance versus live event, it's a big difference.
I think it's also the market. I mean, I'll tell you, by comparison, we went to SmackDown when they were in Fresno, what was it, earlier this year? And that was, or maybe it was late last year, but that was pretty well attended. They only had tarped off the top, but there was much more, it felt more full.
Fresno's a smaller market than Oakland.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, because it's a bigger deal. You know, what are your entertainment options in Fresno compared to in the San Francisco Bay Area?
But you have way more people in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Actually, the Central Valley is pretty, it's just more spread out, right? But I think it's that idea. It brings them in from all around. I'll be curious to see how No Mercy is. What have you heard about ticket sales for, I mean, Staples Center is huge for Sunday.
I haven't checked. I'll look into that.
Yeah. Curious. But yeah, man, I tell you, there's something more about it where I think the house shows are a better value prop. And with the TV tapings, I feel like you really have to be caught up on things. And that's the other wrinkle. And I understand the live event attendance is down, but I think if you go to TV and you're not following what's going on, you're going to be lost. If you go to a live show, it really doesn't matter because they're still bringing out a lot of the people you don't see on TV that maybe were on TV when you stopped watching.
Yeah, I guess. But you also know that nothing's going to happen on a live event. So if you're just going to see the stars and watch matches, and yeah.
Although, I mean, look, things have happened
once a year.
I don't know, man. Fresno, something could happen Saturday night, the night before pay-per-view.
It's not going to.
No, not at all. But it'll be fun. And I'll let everyone know if anything eventful happens at either of those shows.
Yeah.
Chances are it won't. But so we've got more on Bobby Heenan, and more's come out about the cause of death, correct?
Yeah. One second. I don't want to say anything wrong. So let me pull that up. So yeah, Bobby Heenan, it was due to organ failure caused by throat cancer, which he had been battling for a long time. Yeah, so he'd been battling, you know, he was diagnosed with cancer in 2002. He had been in remission since 2004. But yeah, you know, I think anyone that saw Bobby over the years, you could tell, you know, he was struggling. He didn't, I mean, it was really sad seeing those convention videos and stuff where he was at and someone's so funny and he couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people had been talking about the Royal Rumble 92 and, you know, all these Bobby Heenan as a commentator. And so like I went back last night and I actually put the Royal Rumble 1992 on.
Oh, wow.
And I wasn't watching it. I had it on in the background. So I was listening to it while, you know, while I was working. And freaking Bobby, he's just, I haven't gotten to the Rumble match itself yet. I'm, you know, to where the Rumble's about to start. A couple things with that. First thing, Bobby is just, man, he was just amazing because he is just on the whole event. And, you know, I'm talking like the Bushwhackers versus the Beverly Brothers. If that match happened on pay-per-view today, and you had Michael Cole and Corey Graves, all due respect to Corey Graves, but they're not going to make that match entertaining. And that match is going to suck and you're going to be bored. But Bobby and Gorilla were so freaking entertaining that that match was watchable because, you know, because of their commentary. And that whole event, Bobby is just on. And he is just like, he just never stops. And he's just like one-liners and staying in character and being the heel. And he's just amazing. And I never go back and really watch 90s pay-per-views or 80s pay-per-views. So it's, you go back and listen to it and it's like, man, this is so freaking entertaining that regardless of if the match is good or bad, you're being entertained anyway.
Oh yeah.
And you don't have that with commentary now. You don't have where a bad match can be overcome with entertaining commentary.
Yeah. I mean, I think you see shades of that sometimes with Corey Graves. I think in NXT, there were a couple that I remember where he definitely made it. But again,
I think he can add to a match, but I don't see him definitely not near that level where,
oh, well, look at the experience level. I know I'm saying,
no, it's not just that. Yeah. It's Bobby's wit. You're just born with it. I mean, he's coming up with stuff just on the fly, just responding to Gorilla. And he was a just amazing talent.
Oh, definitely. And you haven't even got to the money part of the Rumble yet.
Right, yeah.
Flair's win and Heenan's reaction to that.
No, I still, to this day, remember lines from it. Like, you know, Bobby's, it's not fair to Flair. And, you know, turning on Roddy when Roddy helped Flair for a minute and then turned on him. And, you know, Bobby was saying, oh, it's a kilt. I'm never going to call it a skirt again. And then when Roddy turned on Flair, he's like, you skirt-wearing freak.
You know, like, no, he was great, man. He was great, and it's such a sadly ironic way to go, given his gift.
Yeah, he's amazing. If you guys got the WWE Network, just check out the 92 Royal Rumble. Check out any pay per view where Heenan did commentary, and him and Gorilla, man, they were such an iconic duo.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. No, very, very sad passing in the business. Forever changed because of him. He added so much with his commentary and his mic skills.
And one more thing I got to say about that 92 Royal Rumble. Holy crap, the talent, those legends on that were at that event, you know? It was the Road Warriors and Hulk Hogan and you know, Bret Hart. Actually, Bret Hart wasn't on that one. Sorry. He was supposed to be, but they did this injury.
Canceled at the last minute because you didn't give them the questions in advance?
Oh, yeah, right. You canceled at the last minute. But Roddy Piper, Owen Hart, Sid Vicious, which, you know, it's not at the level of the other guys, but still, Kerry Von Erich. I mean, it was just a who's who in that Royal Rumble. Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker. It was like, man, the Randy Savage, the star quality. I don't think there's ever been so many huge names at one event as there was for that. It was pretty amazing.
No, I mean, you watch a lot of that stuff now just to look back. Do you think part of that is that you can't have that perspective as it's happening? I mean, you don't get that sense. You almost need hindsight sometimes to really realize the gravity and impact.
No, I mean, I think even then you realize it was a star-studded Rumble. You know, I think they advertised it as such. So, yeah, I mean, you knew, I mean, it was huge names, but going back and seeing it, it's like, holy crap, that was huge, you know?
Oh, it's crazy, man. So speaking of things that are advertised, Raj, since our conversation, since your clarity about Starrcade the other night, now what am I seeing online everywhere I turn? Everyone's like, wait, what do you mean this isn't going to be on the network or special or pay-per-view? What's a live event only? Like, the internet had my same reaction of going from very excited about Starrcade coming back to being like, well, what do I care if I can't watch it?
I mean, what do you care anyway? It's the same live event matches they're showing, except Jinder Nakamura is not going to be good in a cage. The only match that might be in, I mean, they got a Flair in a cage at Starrcade, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, if they wanted to do something, and they always might change it and change it to a network special if they see that interest. But Cody, you know, made the made those comments about it, and Michael Hayes invited him. It'd be kind of cool if they did something where, for one night, they had Cody and Goldust team up against, you know, the Usos, and then you did, you know, because then you got the Rhodes, you got Flair, and if you could get Ric Flair to come out and make a special appearance, I don't know if he could with his health, probably not, but. Then that's something that would be kind of cool for the network. But other with what it is now, there's no reason to.
Well, I think that's what got people's imaginations going about it. That's what captured the imagination of the internet wrestling community, was that idea that, like, oh, hey, Goldust will be involved. Oh, hey, Cody might come back. Oh, hey, what if they do something with Rick? That's where people, I think you're right. If it's just a glorified house show with the Starrcade name, then yes, no one will be missing that they didn't watch it on the network. It's like what happens when, roster call up, whenever they went to Japan, and it would be like, hey, Asuka's going to be wrestling a house show in Japan, and they would have these matches. I forget what the one was. I mean, Jericho was involved. One, there were a couple that on the card and in Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't think they did Hawaii. They did the one network special in Japan with Brock Lesnar against Kofi Kingston, but the beast in the East or whatever.
But since then, what I'm saying is, when they've done those tours, they do special matches for those tours, and that's right. Where people were like, oh my god, I hope it's on the network, I want to see this. They get excited when it's something a little different than usual.
Yeah, but so far on this card, there's nothing different than usual other than Charlotte Flair's and Natalya's a cage match. Yeah. But you know, they're, again, we're going to see that match in a few weeks, and that's going to be the match on all live events going forward, so they're not going to want to give that away on the network when that's what they're running at live event. Well, who knows, they might. I mean, they do all these matches for free on TV anyway, so
that is true.
Yeah. But
the timing is the weird part, because it's what, a week after Survivor Series, but it's the week, the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Well, that's what Starrcade after the first few years, Starrcade was Thanksgiving. And so, you know, that's the tradition. So, it, you know, it's a smart gimmicking thing to get extra attention to it. But ultimately, it's just naming a live event.
Yeah. What one do you think they bring back next? And do you think they start doing this more for live events? It's trying to make the live events special as opposed to just giving these event names for the pay-per-views and the network specials.
I think it's probably just for the most part, the network specials. It seems like they have their names for all the other pay-per-views and they're kind of sticking with it. Did they do TLC this year?
Yeah. Or wait, though, that was the last, isn't that usually December?
Yeah, but this year they're not doing it. This year it's Clash of Champions. So Clash of Champions wasn't a WCW pay-per-view. It was like their version of Saturday Night's Main Event, but it's a cool name. So they brought that, and they brought Great American Bash. I think those are it, right? I don't think they brought any other WCW names, unless I'm forgetting.
I just want Halloween Havoc to come back.
Halloween Havoc. If you have a Halloween show, why not? But yeah, I don't think there's a TLC this year.
No, so the projected date originally was supposed to be October 22nd in Minnesota, but looks like it's right on Wikipedia, so I'm assuming that's not happening.
Yeah, I think they decided to do away with it, which I, you know, it really hadn't meant much over the years. You know, chairs match is a stupid idea anyway, and
they went so too far.
Oh, no, October 22nd TLC, they are doing it. So that's
it is happening.
So that's the next Raw pay-per-view after No Mercy. That's the last Raw single-branded Raw pay-per-view of the year. So they are doing it.
Gotcha. So what's the schedule for the rest of the year on the pay-per-views?
So we got Hell in a Cell coming up. So No Mercy, obviously, this Sunday. Yeah. After that, it's Hell in a Cell, so SmackDown's single-branded pay-per-view. Then TLC, 2 weeks after that, that's Raw. November, only one pay-per-view, that's Survivor Series. So TLC will be the last Raw-branded pay-per-view of the year.
Wow.
So the last Raw branded pay-per-views in October, November, Survivor Series, December, Clash of Champions, and that's going to be a SmackDown pay-per-view. So ultimately, you know, I know a lot of people were kind of upset that there was no SmackDown pay-per-view this month, but there was a Raw one. So ultimately, it evens out because December has a SmackDown and there is no Raw.
I'm glad they're doing less pay-per-views. I think originally when there was that rumor about September SmackDown pay-per-view, I think that would have been poorly attended. No storyline. I mean, so this is good. I think.
No, I mean, we reported it, I think last year, that they were going to be cutting down on the pay-per-views this year. And so, yeah, they dropped two.
There you go. There you have it. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week, folks. Raj, anything else before we take it home here?
No. I think we got an interview with MVP coming up. So look out for that. We got a bunch of Impact talent interviews coming up on the site. One is going up today. Well, these were conducted a week and a half ago, so that was before they decided to drop GFW.
That happens very fast. There's no conference call this week? Is there an Impact?
There is a conference call coming up in an hour, so with Conan and LAX, so I'm going to jump on that here in a little bit, and we'll have any news from that. So
there we go. I'm surprised they don't just let the fans dial in for that at this point. You know, they could probably accommodate.
Some of the questions on these calls, I'm like, should I keep going to these? But anyway.
Then Sunday night, we'll be back here. Myself, Raj, and fingers crossed, Mr. Matt Morgan, right after No Mercy ends on the East Coast to talk about all the results.
Yes.
So join us then, folks. Until next time, I'm Glenn Rubenstein, and we'll see you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.